Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. Happy Friday out there to you in Jacksonville. It's a brand new weekend. It's a new start to the season, Dave, for the Jacksonville Jaguars heading out to the West Coast. You know, Ramsey played very well, by all accounts, in his debut. Didn't get a ton of opportunities, you know, to make plays, but he was solid in what they asked him to do. I did the show with Maurice Jones-Drew on Wednesday night, and, you know, we were talking on a break. First thing he brought up to me, he goes, man, that kid Ramsey can play, huh?
Yeah.
And he watched the film, and he said he just jumps off the film at you. What did you see from not only Ramsey, but some of the new Jags that made their debuts last weekend?
Well, I'm telling you, I was very encouraged by this first game and the secondary in general, just because you could tell they were right there with the receivers most of the day. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to put the ball in places where guys still get catches, but it hasn't been like it's been in the past where guys are 4 yards open, they're making easy catches, and then they get tackled. I'm talking about guys being right there draped over him. You remember the play, Aaron Rodgers, the amazing Ramsey, draped all over him. But House was right there. I mean, it was still really good coverage. It was just a great play by Aaron Rodgers. That was the biggest difference for me, that I could tell the receivers were, they weren't blanketed, but the DBs were right there with those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. It looked like a better performance from the team. They've got to start converting those to victories. Let me ask you, you wake up on Sunday morning, you find out, like everybody else, that Chris Ivory's not going to be there. Have you been in that position where you've had a game plan going in, and all of a sudden you find out really at the last minute that one of your key guys will not be available to you?
Oh, you go back to the 2000, I believe it was 9 season, and Vince Manoai comes out in warmups and does something to his hand, or he did something where he couldn't play in that game, and we were already very limited with our offensive linemen. He was one of our better offensive linemen, and so that really kind of put us in a hole going into that game. The offensive line was pretty flustered the whole game, and so that made me flustered because I was getting hit quite a bit against Tennessee in Tennessee. And so that just kind of started that season, and that was the first game of the season. So it's tough when you come out and you're expecting all your guys to be there, and something happens like with Chris Ivory in the morning wee hours of game day. And so it's tough. You got to be able to midstream adjust. You know, I've heard that my whole football life, being able to midstream adjust. And it can really, really rattle a team sometimes, but it can also galvanize you too. You know, those guys can rally around each other, trying to play for him, trying to play for each other. And so, like I said, I thought it was a great show. And I told you guys last week, if we go toe-to-toe with them and really show that we are competitive with these guys, it's going to be a different tune. And I've heard all week long, you still got some guys that are tired of losing, of course. But most, I thought overall, most people were still excited and looking forward. They're still cautiously optimistic, especially about this weekend. You know, I think the Jaguars have a great chance to beat this team and to really show that they can beat them soundly. But you got to factor in that West Coast trip. For some reason, it just plagues this team. And you just got to factor it in somehow, some way.
You know, Tony's been calling for a 2-touchdown victory. I personally don't care. I don't think Tony cares. I don't think any of us care. Just come on with the win, right? And because you can't squander that goodwill. Because I agree with you. On Monday, even after the game on Sunday, I was surprised on social media how much positivity there was. Now, it may just be the people speaking up were the positive ones. You never know. That's not necessarily a representative sample, but I think most people, the majority, not all certainly, are in that camp of, man, we showed that this is a different team. We went toe-to-toe with the Packers. That ball is on Allen Robinson's hands in the end zone with less than a minute to go, and that's one that you're going to count on him to haul in a lot of the time. And if he does, you probably go on to win and beat the Green Bay Packers. So that's the difference. You know, we always talk about handful of plays dictate the outcome of a game. You watch a game last night, no more evident than that. The Bills hit, basically, they hit 4 plays. They hit the 2 big touchdowns over the top. They had the defensive score. They couldn't really move the ball other than that. And then they had the one long kickoff return as well from Brandon Tate. They had four explosive plays in the game and really made that a four-quarter game because of that. So it really does – you never know when those plays are going to come that are going to be the ones that, kind of dictate what the final outcome is going to be.
Yeah, you talk about that game last night. I'm watching it thinking, oh, wow, the Jets are going to really roll away with this one. And then – one play here, one play there, and they're back in the game. They're leading the game, and you're like, wow, how in the world? Because the
Jets
are just going up and down the field. I mean, Fitzpatrick is hitting his guys on time, in stride. They're making great plays, but it's those big plays by another team. If you can just hit here, hit there, and our coaches used to always say, if you can get six explosive plays in a game, your chances of winning are really, really high. And so if you see those explosive plays, man, they keep you in a game and they give you a great chance. You really take the wheel from the other team, a team that is going up and down the field. They're like, we're doing all this and they're hitting two or three plays and they're still tied or beating us right now. Like, it can really drain you as a team when another team is just making big play after big play.
Oh, you know what? What it kept was it kept the ball in the air last night. For fantasy fans, if you were forced to play some Thursday night guys, you did not come away disappointed for the most part, unless maybe you were a Sammy Watkins owner, but you kind of knew going in he probably was not going to have a banner outing. All right, David Garrard's in the house. Fat Tony's here. I'm Mike Dempsey. Just getting underway on this Friday, and is our habit on Fridays. Our question of the day revolves around the Jaguars. Keys to victory. What do you think are the top three things they need to accomplish this week in order to walk away with a victory over the San Diego Chargers? You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9. Also, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is up and rolling, 641-1010. We'll take your calls at that number. You can text us at that number as well on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Let's talk Jaguar football and see if they can't get off the schneid and get their first win of the season as they get ready to travel out to the West Coast in about 3 hours. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Early, but you know what? Kind of mid-morning. Is it breakfast time? Is it lunchtime? Really? You know what? It's up to you. If you're hungry and you're out and about for food on the go, you can't beat the Dandy and Anytime Deli line of sandwiches and subs. They've got all the new specialty items that have been coming out, like those light wraps for lunch. You want a little light fare that doesn't make you want to take a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll fill you up, and you know they're always great, wholesome, quality ingredients at a price you're going to absolutely love. Speaking of price, breakfast sliders, get a 2-pack for only $3. You're not going to find a better deal for breakfast on the go anywhere in town. Now, whether it's tailgating, whether it's headed to the beach, there's still some beach weather left in the month of September. Whatever the occasion, if you're hungry and you don't want to wait in line at the drive-thru, pop into your local Kangaroo Express, go to your local Circle K, and head right to the Fresh Case and look for the Dandy and Anytime Deli lines. The variety, the quality, and the price, it's part of the winning combination. Whenever you're hungry, folks, do what I do and make yours a Dandy today.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. Get your first glance of Sunday's matchup on the 1010XL Kickoff Show. Fueled by Sawyer Gas. Presented by Coastal Equipment. With Lauren Brooks, Blythe Brumley, and Fat Tony. Sunday morning at 11:30.
Win the game!
On 1010XL. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. More Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today rolling along. David Garrard's in the house. David Garrard, entrepreneur, fitness fanatic, maybe not a fanatic, just a fitness enthusiast, right?
I'm about the community. I want
right.
to see everybody.
Not just your own personal fitness, everybody's fitness. And at Retro right now, Dave, I know you can join in this month of September for only $10. Don't pay another penny until December 1st, which is great. We got a lot of holidays coming up. People don't want to be putting a lot out of pocket right now. So you can experience what being a member of a gym should be like. What does that mean? What should being a member of a gym feel like?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Are you?
Yes. You know what? When you go into a lot of gyms, they just send you in there, they sign you up, send you off to the machines, and a lot of people don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to set their own routines, how to accomplish goals. And so when you come into our Retro Fitness in one of my locations, we're going to give you a free assessment. We're going to set you with a personal trainer to give you a free personal training session. And when you come in, you're going to feel like you're home away from home. It's a place that you can come in that has a great vibe. The staff is very personable. Everybody's going to talk to you. They're not going to just leave you alone. Well, they will if you want them to, but they're going to talk to you and make sure you're setting yourself with the right goals. If you have any questions, a lot of times you go into some gyms, they won't talk to you unless you're in their personal training department, unless you're already signed up with them. With us, we want to make sure you're doing the right things. We want to make sure that you're having a good time, because we know how sometimes it can be a little bit of a drain to come to the gym and work out. Even though you need it, it can be a little tough sometimes to motivate yourself to come in here. So we try to give you that good motivation when you're there.
Welcoming atmosphere. Absolutely. Gives you a little push, but it's not pushy at the same time, right? 9802 Bay Meadows Road, 13475 Atlantic Boulevard, the two locations for David Garrard's Retro Fitness here in Jacksonville. Go to RetroJax.com, get all the details and all the kind of classes they have, the workouts that they have, and all the different amenities that are there at Retro Fitness as well.
Glad you got that training when they walk in. I'm telling you, I've been in some gyms at times, and you walk in and you're like, what is that idiot doing?
If you just go to YouTube, some just people doing the wrong exercises.
Misuse of exercise equipment.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you man, will sit there and laugh and laugh.
That's a whole
laugh.
Category I never thought to explore.
Oh, gosh, you've got to go do it. It is some of the funniest things. And
but done it. I've looked around. I'm like, where is an employee? Yes, like, they can't be seen this and not help them. This is ridiculous. Gosh.
Right. I know how that bench press works. This other thing over here, I'm going to wait.
And some machines can look kind of confusing to people if you've never really been in there before and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing.
No question about it.
Yeah,
even if you have been in there before, sometimes those things are a little confusing for you. Guys, we remarked all summer long how fortunate the Jags were on the injury front, right? Nothing major cropped up with any of the key guys. Now, you could argue, hey, look, anybody gets hurt, they're thinking, hey, I'm kind of a key guy in my own mind, right? Yeah. I mean, but Sample, Wells, those guys going on IR, certainly there are guys that were going to be contributors to this football team, but not necessarily locks to be starters. Sample may have been able to push for that job. However, we saw what happened with Ivory last week. Nobody's expecting him to play this week, and we hope for a full, speedy return for him. But now you got Prince Mukamara dealing with a hamstring, and you got Jeremy Parnell dealing with a groin injury yesterday. Tony, I'll start with you. Which one of these more significant to you, and what's the plan of action if one or both of these guys is missing on Sunday?
Man, offensive line, it's tough. If they're without Parnell, I don't know exactly what the plan would be. I mean, I guess you could swing Jokel out there potentially. But
would you play Omame maybe and just try to leave the rest of the line intact?
I don't know, but with as big an opportunity as I think the Jags have to potentially establish some kind of running game this weekend, not having Parnell would be huge for this football team. And I think that's the bigger injury just because they are deeper in the defensive backfield. Not as deep as they will be, obviously, when Colvin's back with them. It puts Grotz in a position where he'd have to play a lot, and they have to make a decision on whether Ramsey's playing inside or outside for this football team. But I think that's an easier decision than figuring out what you're going to be doing with right tackle, especially, again, in a game where I think it's important for the Jags to be able to establish the run, and I think being without Parnell would make that a whole lot more difficult this weekend.
A couple of theories on offensive line when you're missing a guy, Dave. One is sometimes you take a guy from another position, slide him out there. So in effect, you're almost weakening two spots, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it depends on what your depth is at each individual spot on the line. Or do you leave, for instance, Jokel, if he was going to be the swing guy, do you leave him there? Do you bring in Omame? I guess you got to ask yourself, what's the better combination? Do I go with like Chris Reed at left guard with Jokel at right tackle, or leave Jokel where he is, bring in Omame? This is, you know, provided Parnell can't play. We don't know that for a fact, certainly. But is there in general, a better way to do it among those two theories when you're talking about replacing offensive linemen?
Well, I would think, just from me looking at it, I would think you would leave Jokel there, bring in
Omame,
and go with that fit. Just because Jokel was playing a little bit of left tackle during the preseason, then got put at guard, and then there's a lot of things that he's already doing. We've already seen him at tackle before. Not saying that he couldn't handle it for a game, but I just think sliding one piece in would be just a little bit easier for that offensive line. since Amame has been, you know, practicing at that position and would be able to slide in a little easier. It would cause a little less confusion with the offensive line as far as giving their calls and all those things. Now, when you slide Jokel over here to right and you bring Reed in, now you got two different guys that are having to figure out. I think Reed, you know, since he's been probably practicing that spot too, would be okay. It's just Jokel. Is that going to be a good fit for him to be at that right tackle spot?
How important is your chemistry between, say, your left tackle and your left guard? Because there was a lot of talk about, hey, you know, Beecham and Jokel didn't play a lot of reps together. Well, certainly Reed and Beecham didn't play a lot of reps together, if any. So, you know, is that something that is overblown a little bit or what?
I think it's a big part of the offensive line just because they have to have that feel for one another. When they're passing off defensive line guys, there's a lot of stunts that come in front of them. There's a lot of, hey, this is my guy, this is your guy. They have to talk quite often. And then sometimes they just have to know things subconsciously. They have to have a feel for what's going on in front of them and having their partners back just because, like I said, there's so many stunts where the nose is sliding to him and they're looping the D end around up the guy. They have to be on the same page and they have to be able to pass things off. So I think that's a huge thing. The longer you can have a group of guys playing together, the more in sync they'll be.
This team had so much success throwing the ball last year. I think that's kind of its offensive identity right now. I know they want to run the ball and they stayed committed to it last week, even though T.J. Yeldon had some nice runs, got hit behind the line of scrimmage six different occasions. He got taken down behind the line of scrimmage. When you look at San Diego, they gave up a lot of passing yardage to Spencer Ware coming out of the backfield last week. Alex Smith had a pretty good game as well. How are you attacking the San Diego Charger defense if you're Greg Olsen and the Jaguars?
Well, I think you're still trying to stay as balanced as possible because you have to get that run game in there, especially on the road, especially making this West Coast trip. That makes it that much easier for Blake. He's not trying to win this game all on his shoulders. And even though he has that ability, I think I saw a stat where when he throws over 300 yards, he's 0-for in those games. And so that's not good. You know, that tells you he needs that balance. He needs the run game in there to be effective. And honestly, most quarterbacks do. Most offenses need that run game. They don't have to have, 100-yard rusher, but they have to be productive. And that first game, that made it somewhat tough for those guys, not having that, being able to hand the ball off and let that guy go get a couple first downs. You can definitely see a difference. I think this offense can do it passing the ball, but it makes it that much easier for them when they are balanced.
And I think against the Packers, I think both teams saw that if either of them could establish the run, the other team was dead.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just they were going to be able to control the game from that point, especially with the heat that they were dealing with here in Jacksonville last week. So both teams stayed really committed to it, despite the fact that it really wasn't working for either one of them well into that game, and it wound up with the Jags with the opportunity there at the end. We've talked a lot about Spencer Ware and him hurting San Diego last week coming out of the backfield as a receiver. They were down so big so early in that game that they didn't have an opportunity to establish the run. Spencer Ware averaged 6.5 yards a carry last week against San Diego. Now, he only got 11 carries in the game, but he averaged 6.5 yards a carry on a long of 14. They were gashing them in the run game last week. They just couldn't stay committed to it. I think Jacksonville, if they keep themselves in this game early, it's going to be able to establish T.J. Yeldon early in this game, which is why I think Parnell potentially not being out there is a huge loss for this Jaguars team.
Yeah, I mean, it potentially could be. But like you said, they were gashing them. So I think with Amame coming in, I think that gives them still that good chance because I think T.J. Yeldon is a fine back, and if he can get some holes, then he'll be able to hit him and hit him for some pretty good yards.
Yeah, and just to be clear for folks who are listening in, there's nothing confirmed one way or the other on Jeremy Parnell. We're just speculating.
Just in case.
What if? How important that could be. Here was Gus talking about the overall play of the offensive line?
Like the defense, we just talked about them, where I think each week we should get better. The more they're playing with each other, the more they understand how the scheme's coming together, what we're asking of them in game situations, we should see improvement there. And I think it's no different on the left side of the ball, too. I think those guys having a chance to be together, they've had minimal snaps, but for the first game, did a good job. And I think that's only going to improve the more reps they get.
Let's go to Greg Olson here, too, talking specifically about those guys on the left side. You know, I think all eyes on Luke Joeklin when you're considering, you know, are these guys going to hold up heading into the season? Greg Olson said he felt like that pair, Joeklin and Beecham, played pretty well.
Well, it was, again, for both the guys, Joeklin and Beecham playing together on the left side. So, again, you know, and it was they only had a week, really a week together, practice together, and there were some good things there. I think they would both agree, hey, we'll get better and we'll continue to get better each week. But and that process of playing next to each other, certainly as we talked about, it's critical for the five offensive linemen. If you can keep those guys together and they stay healthy throughout the season, then the improvement should show, you know, from week to week. So they both had a good week this week, and I think the communication aspect of those two is better. And that's so much a big part of it, not only just in the protection part, but also in the run game of the fits and what we're trying to get done in the run game. So they both had a better week of practice this week.
Certainly nothing glaring. Look, everybody's going to blow a block from time to time,
yep.
Right? But if that was where they started, it looks like hopefully, you know, the more I think Beecham rounds into form, you could see these guys improving as a unit as the season goes on.
Well, that's why I say they've got to continue to work together. That's why I would not move them if something does happen with Purnell. I just think they are starting to gel together. Like you said, in the run game, they're getting their fits. They know where they should be. They're getting certain looks, and they know where the other guy should be fitting in this protection or in this run block. If you continue to have to move guys around, they just never get that gel. You've heard offensive lines always saying they're really starting to gel now, and so you've got to be able to let those guys play together for a certain amount of time so they can get that feel, they can get that gel.
More from Gus and Greg Olson coming up a little bit later on in the program. Double D making his way into the studio right now.
The energy level just picked up.
It did. It's through the roof right now. Donovan's going to come and join us here in a few minutes as well. Let me ask you about, I'm just curious about this, as a guy who's certainly a mobile quarterback in your own right, the way that the Jaguars chose to rush Aaron Rodgers, a play-extending quarterback. He's not the kind of who wants to take off and run too much, but as you saw in the touchdown, if you get too far upfield with those defensive ends, he will hurt you from time to time. Did you prefer if a team tried to do that mush rush on you and, you know, that let me see if this guy can beat me from one platform. I want to know where he's going to be. What kind of attack worked best for you from a defensive coordinator standpoint?
Yeah, definitely when you can have the guys in that mush rush where they're not giving you those clear lanes, when you can slide up in there and take off to the sideline and keep your vision down the field and hit guys as you're scrambling to the right or taking off upfield. If you watched the game last night, Tyrod just took off. I mean, those DNs were coming upfield trying to get around that corner, trying to get those sacks. But you're opening up such a huge lane for him to be able to just take off. And that's what you have to do with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, just because he can use his legs, not use his legs to scramble for 50 yards, but to get outside the pocket. That changes the dynamic of the defense now. Now they can't just play their rules. They have to play backyard football. And that is always tough. I used to have defensive coordinators come up to me all the time after games just saying, or just the defensive players, they would say, man, I just get so tired of playing you sometimes because you're always moving around. You're never at that point so that I can just get that good shot on you. That, and then you get outside the pocket and we can't cover, but for so long, you know, and so you turn it into backyard football and, you got such high, you got such professional receivers out there that can get open already. And now if the guys are lost, if defenders are lost, now they're really wide open. And you saw last night Greg Silas just busted play. Yeah, I mean, that's how you kill defenses. That's how defenses get really, really frustrated and really, really mad. Double D would tell you.
Happened double beats. I think it happened to him a few times. He just gave me that. We don't ever get frustrated by guys like you. By the way, it's another thing that when you arrive at Tyrod Taylor, he's not built like the beer truck, Tony. Like Garrard was. He had that
not
going
quite,
for
no.
you as
no.
well.
No.
All right. After they get tired of chasing you around, when they finally arrive, they're like, really?
Yeah.
All right. This is what I got to deal with here. All right. I don't know how long Daddy Daycare is hanging out this morning. So let me ask you, what do you – projecting for the Jags this weekend?
You know, once again, just like last week, I want to pick the Jags. I think this is actually a better game to pick them in. But I'm still in a prove-it-to-me phase. You know, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to go to the West Coast and win before I can really start picking you for these tougher games, you know. So I'm going with the Chargers this game. I don't know what I think the score is. I think it's going to be a pretty high score. But they just got to show me. I'm tired of every year just coming in saying they got it this week.
Understood.
And then, you know, so they've got to show me. So I'm going with Chargers.
Tony was right on the score, the exact score last week.
27-23.
Nice. He's been talking about a double digit Jaguar win all week. So I'm going with Tony.
Keep straight, baby.
Over Garrard as far as that goes. Dave, you're welcome to hang out as always. You're a member of the Jaguars Today family, but if you got a split, we appreciate you coming in with the kids this morning.
Well, I appreciate you guys. We already had to put a few fires out over there.
Don't worry, Jaguars. Your beautiful studio is pristine and intact.
There's
everything
not
is
quite
fine.
As much for the kids to do when you come to this office as opposed to the one over there.
Well, they see all these pretty wires,
right.
And they think they can just
can
go yank on them.
Here? Oh, there's green and blue and red.
It's not like the gym where you could just put them on a treadmill.
No, exactly.
Go work it out over there. All right, Dave. Good
Thanks,
to see
guys.
You, brother. And we'll be back. Donovan Derry is going to step in on a star-studded Friday afternoon. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, rolling on here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It's Jaguars Today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Chris Ivory returned to the facilities yesterday after missing the season opener against the Packers. He was excited to be back, but Ivory said he wished he could have been part of the game plan.
You know, I would have loved to have been out there, man, to contribute and help the team win. I thought we played really strong, but all we could do now is move forward and get ready for the next game. You know, just carry over from what we did.
Good news, cornerback Jalen Ramsey and tight end Julius Thomas practiced full for a second consecutive day. Cornerback Prince Amukamara, though, missed practice for the second consecutive day, and Dante Fowler Jr. also missed practice with an illness. But Bradley does say he expects Fowler to play on Sunday against the Chargers. Kickoff is set for 4:25. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
It's our next guest, Leon Searcy.
Guys don't pick up the phone anymore, guys. Social media here or text you or whatever. I would love to hear those guys' voice again. You know, those kind of friendships, they last for a lifetime. So, I'll never forget my days in Jacksonville. It was just an amazing experience.
Hey, we won't forget you either, brother, and that's why we keep having you back on. Speaking of that, social media, hit Leon up at Leon Searcy 72. Guys like you, Donovan, can pick up the phone and call him, though. It's okay. Call him. He wants to hear your voice, my man.
Where are we high school teenagers? Call me. Pick up the
phone. You know what? He just texted me. He just said, give him my number. There you go, Double D. Did you hook up, as Donovan Darius comes in, he needs no introduction, he's part of the family here as well. Double D, did you hook up with Leon Searcy?
Not yet.
Come on, you're killing me over here.
Nope, I haven't hooked up with him yet, but I will.
All right, we're trying to bring people together, man. That's what it's all about. And we love the fact that you do listen to the show, and when something comes up pertinent, you're always hitting us up, texting us, and letting us know what's going on out there. Now, what do we got cooking this morning? You up live on Facebook?
Yes, we are live on Facebook, Donovan Darius 20, live on Facebook. So, again, I mean, whether you want to see us or you want to hear us, you can tune
you
in.
You can do both.
You can do both. And then you get the special segments of when we go to commercial break. That's where the real stuff gets talked
That's
about.
Right. That's when Tony and I need to be on our P's and Q's. Did you notice me, Tony? I chose different words at times this morning with the two young ladies in the studio. I do know how to conduct myself, Donovan, when appropriate. I just forget sometimes,
that's
I think.
All right,
man.
That's all right.
How's everything?
That's why you got Fat Tony here, man, to keep you on
He keeps me straight. There's no question about it. Your impressions before we get into everything you've got going on, because you got something pretty cool coming up for the next home game here at Everbank. Your impressions on how the Jags played, certainly disappointing they didn't win, but what did you think of the game?
I mean, I thought it was a great game. I was impressed with the fact that not just from a moral standpoint, they kept it close, but the way they competed. And I thought that that was great. I mean, you have a team that almost, you know, could have been a Super Bowl contender last year in Green Bay, come in, and with all the hype and with the veteran leadership of Aaron Rodgers, I just thought that the way that the offense was able to pump points on the board, and then the way the defense was able to do things in spurts. I mean, granted, you want to, as a defense, you don't want to give up more than, when Mike Smith was here in Jack, the rule was hold the opponent to 17 points. And so we knew anytime somebody got more than 17, that was not reaching our goal or our standards. And so to give up 27 is a lot, but I am happy that on the other side of the ball, offensive side and even special team, there were little spurts and they continue to be competitive.
Yeah, there were really only the two drives that bothered me. One, you set them up on a short field and Rodgers is going to take advantage of that. They're going to get points out of it, right, likely, whether they get a touchdown or not. And then, a minute 9 left in the first half. That's the one you can't allow, right? You drive down, you take the lead, you're feeling good, you've got some momentum. You know they're going to get the ball in the second half, and you let them get the go-ahead score before the half is even up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, there's only so many drives in a game, and you have to maximize those drives. And then when the defense is out there, you have to do whatever you can to either make them kick a field goal and not give up a touchdown, because at the end of the day, you see the score was so tight just because of those extra points.
All right, tell us what is going on in your world, man. You've got all these Facebook Live things, which has been growing. You've done what now? 13 of them?
I've done 13 of them. So I'll start with that one. So one of the things, about 3 months ago, I wanted to utilize social media for its benefits and purposes, and that was, I wanted to get a message out there, interact with individuals, and give people an opportunity to be optimistic, encouraged, motivated, and for them an opportunity to be engaged. So I started this group on Facebook. It's called Donovan Darius Motivational Forum. The whole purpose is for me to answer questions, give insight, interact, and engage with fans on any level. And then at the end, I usually give like five to 10 minutes on just something motivational or inspirational that they can apply right now. And so I've had people all over the country joining. I've had 1,300 viewers at some time.
Really?
At different times.
That's awesome.
And the great thing about it is that the feedback people give about what was said in such a short time of how it impacted their lives, the perspective that they now have, the mindset that they have, the introspection that they have is awesome. And so we were talking before the show started, I just believe that when I pass away, man, I want to leave this world empty. That means if you leave this world with a gift or talent still in you, you failed. So you need to understand that you need to push forward, give away all that you have in terms of that you were created for, you know, and bless your people around, and bless people around you. So every Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., the group is Donovan Darius Motivational Forum. I would love to have people join. Come on in and check it in. Check it out. And like I said, we have a great time. I'll be playing music. You know, we play games. I have a segment called Inside the Locker Room where I show you video of guys inside. You know, we were during our locker room time, Coach Coughlin maybe talking, some inspirational things. And so people get an inside perspective. You know, who was it? Fernando Bryan and Aaron Beasley said, Donovan, you know what? You were probably the first reality TV show because I've always had the camera around me. And so it was great. So, like I said, I love to do it. That's a way that people can get in contact with me. Definitely, Donovan Darius Motivational Forum is the group that they can basically join.
That's pretty amazing, really, because you couldn't have necessarily projected how easy it is to share all those experiences now with the internet and the way it's set up, you know, to share video and all this stuff. So you had all this archive, probably, you know, you're thinking, hey, I want to be able to look back, show my kids, show my family what life was really like behind the scenes, and now everybody can be a part of that.
I'm going to tell you one of the greatest ones, you know, real short, is the 1999. What I used to do is before each game at the hotel, I would record what's going to happen in the day before, and I would talk to the camera about our opponent, what they're going to try to do, and what my mentality is going to the game. And then before the game, I'll put the camera up in the locker, and then I'll talk about it while I'm getting dressed, putting my eye black on, and then halftime, I come in, give an update after the game. I'll talk about what happened in the game. We did that for the whole 99 season. I'll never forget the AFC Championship game. Man, we came in at halftime. We were up, and I'm like, you know what? We're 30 minutes away. You know, we're 30 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. This is it. We're up. You know, our dreams come true. We got 30 more minutes. Man, then after the game, of course, everybody know how it went. I came in, it took everything in me to turn that camera on, and I did. And I turned it on, and to see the raw emotion of the guys, to see the cameras and the lights hanging up from all the lockers and everything, of them being prepared as if we won. And I mean, that raw emotion, and then I got a chance to talk to the camera. And so those moments are priceless. They're invaluable, because I can't walk around with every moment I've had in my life, but being able to capture it in a positive and constructive way is awesome.
It's priceless to you from a personal standpoint. I can't imagine for a hardcore Jaguar fan to be able to see some of this stuff. And look, that's a painful memory, the second half of the 99 championship game. But just to document history of this franchise in that fashion, it is unique video. And look, the Jaguars crew, they do a great job, and there's a lot of great behind the scenes stuff they capture, but I'm sure you captured stuff that nobody else has on camera. And what a great kind of living history of the Jags out there.
Listen, I love it. I have rookie shows. Like, I have our rookie shows. I have us on the plane going to the games. I have Coach Coughlin, Coach Crash, I mean, Coach Capers. I mean, you name it. And it's priceless. And I told the guys, because what I do with the NFL now with the Legends community is bringing guys together, connecting with them, and getting them connected to resources, each other, and et cetera, is that we're going to have a viewing party. And I will get guys that still live in the town for us to get together, man, just kind of catch up, connect, and just watch some stuff, man, and just laugh at each other.
That's phenomenal, really. Donovan, stick around, because we want to talk about the Double D Experience team. We're going to do that coming up next. We've got this date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. Donovan Darius is in studio here with us. By the way, Leon Searcy's group that he started up, as you heard last week, was Real Men Block, right? They're realmenblock.com. And on Twitter, it's at realmenblock. They just tweeted at me. Always good to hear Donovan Darius on Jaguars Today. Call Leon Searcy, though. All right? And so he's putting the pressure on you
now. I'm going to call him after the show.
It'll hook up. Now Leon's probably like, I want to see some of this video too, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so, listen, with those stinky gloves he had on, man, but them things was lethal.
There you go. Stinky, lethal gloves of Leon Searcy. Donovan Darius is here with us, one of our favorite guys, and we will continue on this Jaguars Today show on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Donovan just gave you the peace sign on Facebook, if you're checking him out. Where can folks go right now and see this video streaming?
Donovan Darius 20.
Donovan Darius 20.
Yep,
okay,
so Donovan Darius 20 page. On Facebook.
There you go. Check him out and get a glimpse. Maybe he'll show you what the rest of the newly refurbished studio looks like if you haven't seen it yet as well. Fat Tony's here. Donovan Darius is in the house. David Garrard's already come and gone. It's a busy Friday with the Jags getting ready to take on the San Diego Chargers. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not a deep list today, but on this date, September 16th, 1950, the Cleveland Rams, formerly of the All-American Football Conference, played their first NFL game. They knocked off the Philadelphia Eagles by a score of 35-10 and ultimately would settle in Los Angeles, then back to the Midwest, then back to Los Angeles, and that's where they reside right now. They'll have their home opener this weekend against Seattle. 1973 on this date, Buffalo's O.J. Simpson ran for a then-NFL record 250 yards in the Bills' 31-13 victory at New England. Famous birthdays for this date? Well, there weren't too many, to be honest with you. Wilbert Montgomery, probably the most recognizable name on there. Born in this date in 1954, the longtime Philadelphia Eagle running back, is 62 years young today, a two-time Pro Bowler as well. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Look, whether it's anything to do with your dental care, family dentist needs, cosmetic work, maybe you've got a snore in the family, they can work with you here. The Custom Fit SomnaMed mouth guard is a revelation. Whether it's you or somebody else, all of your loved ones are going to be happy with that. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 to set up an appointment. By the way, all first-time customers get 10% off their initial visit. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the Oakland Raiders took a big step towards potentially becoming the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. The Southern Nevada Tourism Infrastructure Committee recommended raising the hotel tax in the Vegas area to help pay for a new 65,000-seat dome venue that was promoted and would be partially financed. by billionaire casino mogul Sheldon Adelson, who is the CEO of Las Vegas Sands. $750 million potentially there in public funding for the project, so that's a big step for the Raiders if eventually they are going to land in Las Vegas, although L.A. could still be in the cards for the Raiders, or heck, maybe even a stay there in Oakland. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the New York Jets get the 37-31 win. Matt Forte with three touchdowns in the victory. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick with 374 passing yards in the win for the Jets as they get to 1-1. Buffalo falls to 0-2 on the NFL season. And an interesting moment in last night's game is Tyrod Taylor took a big shot after scrambling on the out of the pocket at one point, and Ed Hockley actually came up to him after the play and said that he had to go to the sideline to get checked out for a concussion. So actually removed the starting quarterback from the game independent of him actually appearing injured. He came back one play later. Eventually they wound up, that was the series where they had the fourth down where they did not convert for the first down. And really, that was kind of the end of that ball game after the Jets got it back, went down, scored the touchdown. And that was it for last night's game. The AFC South this weekend, Houston playing host to Kansas City, the rematch of last year's wild card game in the playoffs where Kansas City absolutely demolished the Houston Texans there in that building. Detroit playing Tennessee this weekend, and Indianapolis will be on the road to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, and that is the Honda Drive around the NFL.
You know, Tony, you watch that game last night, and I guess with extra points now being more difficult percentage-wise, there's a chance if a team scores a couple of touchdowns that they're going to miss one of those, right? But Todd Bowles, the Jets go up 12 with about 3 minutes left in that football game, Double D, and he kicks the extra point. And at the time, you're not thinking. And then they mention on the broadcast, you know, if the Bills go and score a touchdown here, all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to get an onside kick and they're only down six instead of going for two. I don't see the advantage. Now it worked out. It's not a big deal. Todd Bowles got away with it. But could you imagine the talking point on that one? I you know, the chart's got to say go for two at that point in time with just a few minutes left in the game. What do you got coming out? We got Gus Presser right now. We got injury news. What do you got?
Yeah, he started by saying Chris Ivory won't play on Sunday. That's not a surprise.
Okay.
The real news, Prince Amukamara out.
He is out.
For this Sunday.
What about Parnell? Anything on Parnell?
Didn't see anything about Parnell yet.
Okay, Prince Amukamara, who by all accounts played very well. By the way, Tony, you and I, we like each other, I think. At least I like you. I can't speak for you. Okay,
right.
We're friends. I consider us very good friends, and we don't dress alike just to be cute. There's no cute between us, all right?
We're doing TV today.
No, we've got the same shirt. We're doing the Your Jags Fantasy Show, and
so cute.
We're repping 1010XL. You shut up over there. All right. Now, Donovan Darius, by the way, is nonstop. We go to break. He's streaming the breaks live on Facebook, and every person that's logged in watching him right now, not only can he, obviously you can see their names, but he knows something about everybody because he's just that kind of a people person. He's like, hey, don't forget we're going to do this. Hey, I appreciate you mentioning this the other day. And every single guy, Double D, you keep up with pretty impressive stuff right there.
No, I enjoy it, man. And I appreciate everybody that gets engaged and stays involved because, again, we can only do so much. You know, I always remember this, that as a leader doesn't create followers. Leader create other leaders. And so by me being engaged with people, I believe everybody has the potential to lead. And what I want to do is use the talents, the gifts that I have to create more leaders in whatever that is for them. And so being able to engage with them, it starts by being connected. You can't impact nobody if you're not connected to them.
Explain to me what the Double D Experience team is.
Thank you. And so what because I do a lot of things in Jacksonville through my foundation, through my Next Level Training organization, I am very impressed and grateful for the volunteers and people that have a heart to join the mission and vision and values of what it is I'm trying to bring to Jacksonville. And so what the Double D Experience team is basically there. It's an impact task force for whatever it is we are trying to get done. And so for the event we have coming up, I have created these experience cards. They're called Double D Experience cards. And basically, it just have information about the foundation. It has impact information around next level training for youth and their families, about the motivational forum. And it's really an opportunity for people to get engaged. And it's like anything grassroots. You can have the best thing in the world, but if nobody knows about it, it's a shame. And so the experience team that I've created for this upcoming event, September 25th, the Jaguars game versus the Bengals.
The
Ravens. I wanted to create this experience team to come together. I have about 15,000 These cars is going to be made up and printed up in color and everything front and back. And what they're going to do is they're going, people that's coming to the game, we're going to pass out these cards and we're going to give people an opportunity to get engaged with us through social media to understand about the foundation, understand about, you know, I mean, the premier sports camps that we do. So that way, in the end of the day, you cannot clean a fish until you catch it, and people have to get engaged. And so by us being able to let people know that these are some opportunities and forums that they can get engaged, youth and their families, that's what the whole purpose is. And so on September 25th, we'll meet at 9:30 here at the stadium, especially for people that's coming to the game. You know, we'll kind of welcome one another, pass out these cards at strategic places around the stadium. And then at the end, I have a special treat for everybody that's part of that, is I'm going to take them down on the game field before the game, and we're going to take a picture in the game. We're going to take take a picture on the field before the game. And so, again, it costs you nothing, especially if you're going to be here anyway. I would love for you to join a Double D Experience team because, again, it's all about making an impact. And so if people want to join, they can go to my Facebook page, and I had to create this one, Donovan Derrick public page. It's a public page on Facebook that anybody can get, connected to me with. And I posted a link there for them to sign up so I know. And then the Wednesday before the game, I'm going to have a conference call so I can, you know, welcome everybody, let everybody know details about what's going to happen. And so it's a great time for us to get together with fans, with each other, get ready for the game, pass out cards, impact the community, and then go out and then and kick the Ravens' butt.
Mr. Grassroots Donovan Darius himself. All right, so is that the easiest way? I'll tweet out if you've got the link. I'll go to the Facebook page. We'll tweet out that link. But that's pretty cool inducement right there to go out, hang out with Donovan a little bit, be part of a community outreach, and then have a chance to go down on the field before the game and get a photo. That's going to bring some in, I think,
I'm looking. There are no limits to the number of individuals we want to do this with, and I've got clearance to be able to go down on the field to do this. I got clearance for us to come together, man, take a picture, man. Like I said, this is a movement, man. This is a movement. That same people always wonder, like the passion that I played with to defend the end zone, to protect the team, man, is the same passion that I'm grateful that I can apply in changing lives. And so it's the same thing. You can do this with reckless abandon, and that's what the Double D Experience is about. It's when we get together and you're able to receive what I have to give you and we're able to partner in life. Listen, your life will go to the next level within just minutes. And because it's a mindset thing, we can only go to the level of our belief system and our attitude. And so my thing is I want to just kind of continue to mold and shape and help build your attitude so that way you can accomplish great things as well.
We need some kind of daily affirmation download or something from Donovan, right? That you can just go to his Facebook page, get the daily message of the day. Maybe, you know,
I do a motivation of the day on my Facebook
page. There you go.
It has a picture with words, and then it also has, you know, a short write-up as well. And it's called Motivation of the Day, and it's applicable to any and every area of your life.
Outstanding stuff, man, as always. And so we'll get those links out there to folks so they can be a part of the Donovan Darius Experience team as well. Tony, I'm guessing you want to hit on what I've seen as well. So tell us what the more injury news coming out on the Jags.
Yeah, Gus Bradley continuing to speak right now. Jeremy Parnell and Dante Fowler Jr. Likely to play on Sunday, so hopefully those guys will be out
there. Of course, Fowler missed with an illness yesterday. Parnell's got a groin injury. If you missed it a moment ago, Prince Mukamara is out, ruled out for this game, as is Chris Ivory.
That's his career, man. I mean, it really has been his entire
inability
career
to stay healthy, because you don't question his talent when he's out there and he's healthy.
I want to say that if there was one person that stood out to me last week in the game, it was him.
It was him.
The balls that Aaron Rodgers throws up that's usually caught where he's off his back foot and he throws it with such accuracy, he was always in the right place, you know, at the right time. And so he stood out. It's unfortunate that he's injured because, again, it would have been great to have him build upon what he just did.
Kind of under the radar, his signing this offseason. Not that we weren't aware of it, but when you – all that money to Malik Jackson and then you get Tashaun Gibson at a position where they've needed a guy for so long, Chris Ivory – And then the draft as well to follow that. But even just in the free agent class, he was kind of a little bit under the radar because he signed that one-year deal. And a lot of people anticipated, well, you're going to get Ramsey or you're hoping to get Ramsey in the draft. Fortunately, they did. Again, I'll say this. I said this if you had taken it before the season and said, hey, you know what, we'll play you in week two. And we won't have Keenan Allen. You won't have Prince Amukamara. I think that you'd take that trade as a Jag fan,
yeah.
Right? Now, you'd prefer to have Prince and then still not have Keenan Allen. That would be the ideal. But get well soon for Prince Amukamara. Hopefully, that's a short-term deal. I saw this stat that Tyler sent along to me just a few minutes ago. This is from NFL Communications. Since realignment in 2002, there have been 168 playoff teams in the National Football League, right? You get 12 a year. 100 of those 168, which is 59.5%, began the year with a record of either 1-1 or 0-2. So, trust me, the season's not over regardless of the result this weekend. Now, you don't want to dig yourself a hole. 1-1 feels drastically better than 0-2, Donovan, I would imagine. And if the Jags can get to 1-1, come home, I think they've got some more winnable games coming up on the early schedule and they'll be off and running. But, you know, if you think just because you lose at home in week one that it's a sign of bad things to come, the statistics say otherwise. So we'll hang our hat on that for right now.
Here's the thing. I mean, when we played this, there's 16 games in a season, and you typically, you know, you may hear people say one game at a time, but it's really four games. You know, it's like it's quarters. And if you can come out for the most part 3-1, I mean, like
you're
gonna
have a great year.
You're gonna have a great year. And so if there was one loss that the team in their mind, now everybody, if you ask a guy on the team, he's not gonna say, man, I didn't think we would beat Green Bay. Because of course, I mean, no competitor do think that. But at the end of the day, when they looked at their schedule, I'm sure they said, you know, that Green Bay was a team that if there was one loss, they may have it there. But every other team, they believe that, you know, they're within their reach and that they can go out and win.
We don't know how the season will play out, but arguably the best team they'll play this year in the regular season is the Green Bay Packers. You're welcome to hang out, whatever you want to do. Yeah. You're going to hang for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to hang for a while.
All right.
I enjoy this.
Double D, just chilling on the set of Jaguars today here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute
Studios. I want to give a shout-out to Danny Roman. He just signed up for the Double D Experience team. Listen, that's one. By the time we get done here today, I'm looking for 10 more people. Sign up for September 25th, the Double D Experience team. You can go to our Facebook, Donovan Darius public page, and sign up, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, and by the way, just because you've taken part in the new game day experience here doesn't mean you've all gotten to walk out on the field with Donovan Darius before the game. So that's a nice little inducement for you. We'll talk more about that before we're out of here today. If you want to get in, 641-1010. We'll check the text line and the social media feedback as well. Question of the day, simply, what are your three keys to victory for the Jaguars against the San Diego Chargers this weekend? With Fat Tony and Donovan Darius, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You watched the tape from this past weekend, and he was on fire in the first half. So he's a very good quarterback, and he has put up a lot of yards versus a lot of teams. And, you know, so we've got to take a look at some things. You get a chance, again, some of those off-season studies, you know, some of the areas that you want to improve on, and specifically against San Diego, and you study the tape, but you understand his strengths. And, again, you go in there and try to take away his strengths.
That's Gus Bradley, obviously, talking about Philip Rivers, the quarterback of the San Diego Chargers. In your mind, still one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League, Double D?
I mean, I think he's still one of the more consistent guys. And so by being consistent, you know, it makes you better.
Yeah.
And so he's seen it all. He knows, of course, every year he's probably dealing with new receivers and new line and different things like that. But other than that, I think the game of football has become, you know, it's gotten to a level for him that it's almost like, you know, riding a bike with no hands, but it's almost uphill. So sometimes, you know, there's some challenges, and then sometimes that he's just in his zone.
No, I mean, once again, Keenan Allen lost for the year, just like last season, you know, so that's obviously tough. He was off to a good start in that game against Kansas City. They have some young guys, though. Tyrell Williams is a guy that Rivers, maybe the first guy he mentioned by name and number at his midweek press conference as a guy who's going to get more looks. He's about, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4". I talked to Tony and I had Michael Gelkin on yesterday along with Ryan O'Halloran in here from the Union Tribune in San Diego. He thinks he hasn't learned how to play to his size yet, but he's an intriguing young guy. Phillip Rivers always had that basketball team of receivers, right? They've always been the big guys, going to Vincent Jackson and Michael, or was it Malcolm Floyd?
Antonio Gates, of course, right?
Yeah. And who was literally a basketball player. Right. Dontrell Inman is another one of these guys. And then you throw Travis Benjamin in there. He always has one little shrimpy, right?
Eddie Royal. Yeah.
Somebody in there that you can't lose track of either. This is a topic that came up a lot. Let's hear what Gus has to say on this, and I want to get your opinion on how they can work Miles Jack in. You know, if a guy like Telvin in front of him, man, Telvin played so well. You're not going to take Telvin off the field if he continues to play the way he played in week one. Here was Gus being asked about the difficulty of getting Miles Jack on the field and giving credit to some of those guys playing in front of him right now.
It's a credit to Puz and to Telvin. They're playing pretty well, and they have played pretty well for us. And look at Puz. I mean, he's been a Pro Bowl player. But Miles Jack has some special traits. And you're right, we are trying to speed this process up for him. He's learning two positions, you know, which is a challenge for a young player. And that's just to give us flexibility that if an injury took place, he'd be the first one to go in. And I think that's what he's going through right now. Also, just learning the game and the speed of the game. And top of it, some special team stuff. So he's coming along fine. We keep challenging him, keep pushing it. He's taking it all in. Great energy about him, great spirit about him. But, you know, we'll just see. You know, we'll play him at the right time.
That's Gus Bradley, obviously, again, on Miles Jack. There's, you know, if Posluszny and Telvin are playing well, it is a bit of a conundrum in the short term. But the question that keeps coming up with Miles Jack, renowned for his ability to cover receivers, even in the infamous game against USC where they said, there's Nelson Aguilar, the best receiver on that team. Go shut him down. And he just followed him everywhere he went on the field. So people are saying, well, if Jonathan Cyprian is sometimes a liability in coverage, right, and he gets lost out there, could you devise a way to use Miles Jack in place of him, even if it's just in certain packages, certain snaps? I got to ask you, because as Gus says, you know, I think people, average fan out there thinks he's a linebacker. He knows how to play linebacker. It's just a matter of refining a few things. As Gus says, he's learning to play two different positions, middle, where he's got to be responsible for all the calls when he's in there, and weak side as well, and the different responsibilities that come with that. To try to take a guy, a rookie, who's in that position, and a very talented rookie, and to try to use him in that capacity as like a, kind of a de facto strong safety. Is that a reasonable thing that could get done in your experience?
I don't think it can happen as effective in year one. And that's because, like you mentioned, there's a lot being thrown at him, which is learning two positions and being able to plug and play and kind of get in there and still be effective. Because there's a difference between playing 5 yards from the ball and everything happening there and your reads versus playing 8, 10, 12, 14 yards from the ball and seeing things evolve. Because the natural instinct for a guy who is a linebacker, you know, is when you see certain tendencies and certain run pass reads, is to step up. And for him, if they did put him in a position where he's a safety, his natural tendency would be to step up. And so it does take a lot of practice at understanding how to read, run, and pass tendencies so that way, you know, you can be where you need to be. And so I think the fact that he's learning two positions, if he was learning one, if it was just one, I would say yes. I think that wouldn't be a problem. We learn that all the time because a safety is interchangeable with a linebacker at any day, depending on what scheme and what defense you have. But to have him learning two positions – and then also to have him trying to learn something in the secondary in space, I think can be a little different. Now, it doesn't take away from his talent. You know, he still is talented, and he still can do everything. But I think even though he can do everything, you got to have him do certain things right now.
From a scheme perspective, this is a Jaguars team that likes to run a lot of cover three. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it, if that is what they want to do on third down, to basically just say, go cover this guy man-to-man? Is that even a part of that scheme that they could put him in and tell him to do?
Oh, no, they can. I mean, okay. In cover three, when you have the corners outside, basically man-to-man or deep third, you have a middle safety in the middle, which could be, of course, Gibson. It's interchangeable with the safety and kind of a weak side linebacker. That safety almost in an eight-man front becomes a weak side or an inserted linebacker. And so at any time in an eight-man front, that safety, down safety or linebacker could wind up playing a half of the field, could be a third, could be the flats, could be a hook curl. And so it is very reasonable for not only for him to play zone, in any zone situations, but also for him to cover somebody. And that's not – when we had Capers and we were a big zone blitz team, that's what we did a lot. I mean, you had Tony Brackens, who was a defensive lineman, basically covering a number two wide receiver up the field in certain defenses that we had. And so there are defenses that you can put him in based off your personnel that I think you can still be effective with and still get away with long term.
Somebody brought up, could you use Miles Jack as a short yardage running back right now? Look, TJ Yeldon came through at the goal line the other day. I'm not going to go that route. The last thing I want to do right now is have Miles Jack get a freak injury playing a couple of snaps as a backup running back, despite the fact that he excelled at it in college.
Yeah, the running back thing, the concern for me isn't about short yardage. It's about spelling T.J. Yeldon when he needs to be spelled and how crucial he is for this team to be on the field on third downs with Chris Ivory not available and figuring out some way to scheme that up where they can take advantage of a pretty good matchup running the ball against San Diego and not have Denard Robinson out there trying to block a pass rusher. They just can't put themselves in that situation again this week. It basically took them off the field a couple times last week against Green Bay.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that this week, Tony, because, again, maybe do you run Denard on a few more early downs, right, and you have TJ fresh for when it is third down. Not that you wouldn't run TJ on those downs as well, but 21 carries for him last week, and plus, you know, blitz pickup. He's out there running pass patterns and all this. You got to come off the field sometimes when you're doing all that stuff. So they've got to feel like they're able to protect Blake Bortles at all times, particularly with Parnell probably playing at less than 100%, we suspect. And again, if you're just tuning in right now, Jeremy Parnell with his groin injury and Dante Fowler Jr. with the illness that caused him to miss practice yesterday are likely to play, as Gus Bradley put it this morning. Chris Ivory and Prince Amukamara have officially been ruled out.
You know what I was thinking, too? I mean, when you have these matchup problems or you have injuries, you're trying to find people that have the skill to do what you're trying to do. I've seen teams go from, three wide receivers, one tight end, and one back, which is their normal, a lot of their situations, to three wide receivers and two tight ends. Mm. And so, having one guy in the backfield as a blocker with versatility, like a Mercedes, Mercedes Lewis, and he can also put his hand into the ground and block somebody as well. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see a situation, a personnel like that. Still have three wide receivers in, but you have two tight ends. One that, can run the ball if they needed to, kind of still get them. Keep them honest. But then also somebody at the end of the day that when you're saying we're going to drop back and pass and we need to block this end, somebody that has done it a lot versus somebody who – is really lighting it behind and, you're kind of having those lookout blocks.
Right. Why couldn't you – right. If you're in that obvious passing situation, why couldn't you use a guy like Mercedes Lewis and just line him up? Maybe – look, it wouldn't be something he's done naturally his entire career.
Listen, man, if I talk to Mercedes Lewis right now and we told him the idea like, hey, man, we're gonna give you throwback to the Fountain of Youth and we're going to put you in the backfield and give you a couple dive plays, man, he'll probably be like, yeah, man, he'll probably have a flashback to old De La Salle.
You think so, huh?
Of course he will because, again, I mean, he's at that age now where, he's being a team leader by doing whatever he needs to do. And it's kind of like saying, hey, man, you've been blocking all this time, man. We're going to throw you some touchdown passes or we're going to give you the rock.
Well,
and at the end of the day, he's like, all right, I'll do it.
He looked explosive with the rock. He had a great run after catch last game. I doubt they're going to rely too much on Mercedes being the backup plan at tailback. But as an extra blocker in those situations, it makes some sense. Just a couple of quick texts on the text line driven by Duval Ford. I wanted to mention one person here hitting up. Wish I'd seen this before Dave left, but I'm sure he's listening. I'm a member of Retro Fitness, and Dave and Mary Garrard are awesome. They are so personable. I would agree on both of those counts there. They are awesome and personable. Also, Eric here just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Darius. Saw him a couple of months ago at a Gate gas station and on Atlantic Boulevard interacting with some kids, handing out to their parents some of those cards, talking about the programs. We need more of that outreach here in Jacksonville. Hashtag JAG Heroes. That's got to make you feel good when you see stuff like that.
I appreciate it, man. It's all about purpose. Life is about purpose, man. We were made for purpose and with a purpose. And once you understand it, like I always say, your future is not in front of you. It's trapped inside trying to get out. You were made with everything you needed to get the job you were supposed to get done. All you got to do is start, you know, walking this thing out.
All right. Donovan Darius looks like now is here for the distance. We got one segment to go, so hang out. We're going to take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming back on the other side, asking you today for your keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the San Diego Chargers. Friday show always brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Look, we've just gone through two tropical storms in a very short period of time. And even though there may not be a lot of damage to your property, that incessant rain is going to show up. If you have any issues with your roof, you're going to find out about it quick. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until it's too late. Call Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Re-roofs, repairs, fully licensed and insured. He can work with your insurance company. 287-7756 is the phone number for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC056797. Any kind of issues with your roof, or you want to make sure you don't have any, Bob Roberts on call 24/7, by the way, if you've got emergency storm damage. We're not out of hurricane season yet, folks. Let's hope nothing happens on that front. But if it does, give a call to my friend Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756, our longtime Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. All right, coming back with a look at the fan feedback spotlight, and we'll tie a bow on this one, hand it off to the Midday Chalk, and get you ready for a weekend of great football action, including the Jags and the San Diego Chargers. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Donovan Darius here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley ruled out two players this morning for the game against the Chargers. Prince Amukamara and Chris Ivory have been ruled out. Gus also said that right tackle Jeremy Parnell and Dante Fowler are likely to play. Fowler and Parnell were back at practice today. Offensive coordinator Greg Olsen said Chargers cornerback Jason Brett played Allen Robinson as well as anyone in the league last year, and Gus was asked about him last night.
Brett is very good, very talented. He's a guy that will travel with receivers. So you'll see him play on the right side. You'll see him play on the left side. He's got really good flexibility, very aggressive player. Even though maybe a little shorter than some of the guys that, you know, Hernsey and A-Rob have been facing in practice, plays big, you know, but he's got good twitch.
This has been Jaguars Daily, presented by JOI. I'm Tyler Devitt.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, Double D's been on that Havilland Express Lube hot seat all morning, it seems like. It flies by, though, as you were saying, right?
It does, man, especially when you're having fun.
Yeah, we're having a good time, man. David Garrard in for the first couple segments of the show. Hey, look, they're good buddies, man. They just were ships passing in the night today with DG and Double D. They had a flex off quickly on right before we came out of break.
That's like the open.
That's the largest quarterback. Yeah, he's the largest quarterback.
He is a big quarterback. There's no question about it. Double D though still wins the internet. Everyone on the internet, 100% of the internet thinks you could suit up and play right now. As a matter of fact, Tony, before we get to the fan feedback spotlight today and get some keys of the game, let's look at what we got coming up here. We've got our podcast out. It's been up since yesterday at 1010XL.com. The Fantasy Forecast podcast is driven by National Truck Driver School. You can visit truckschool.com to get more information about a career in over-the-road trucking. They do a great job with that. They've been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area for 38 years. But that podcast, twice weekly, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We leave here. We'll go film the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show for CW17.
Yeah, it's not a bad time to listen to us either. I know you made bank this week on FanDuel. I did all right.
Okay.
I tripled my money this week.
We won, right? Anytime I'm ahead, I come out with more than I put in. That's a big week for me on FanDuel. I did clean up, though, last week. Hope to have some similar success. We'll have some FanDuel value plays in the program, which airs Saturday nights at 11, Sunday mornings at 11:30. Same show, it just replays, so you can catch it at either time or both times if you like. You got Bulls football tonight, right?
Yeah, Bulls taking on Andrew Jackson, so I get to stay in Jacksonville tonight.
St. Pete last week,
yeah,
huh?
St. Pete, I got...
What time did you get back into town?
I got back to my car at 2:45 in the morning. last week.
Okay, because you rode with somebody down
there.
Yeah,
I rode down with Cole.
Okay.
So Cole will be on the call tonight. I'll be on the sidelines for Bulls football as they take on Andrew Jackson, opening up of a district play here in 2016 for the Bulls Bulldogs, and that'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Pre-game starts tonight at 6:50 here on 1010XL.
Who's Vandy got this week?
Vandy is in Atlanta. They're taking on Georgia Tech.
Ooh.
So it's actually kind of a fun little, you know, they're taking on an ACC opponent.
Smart kids versus smart kids.
Smart kids versus smart kids. And if you watch nothing else, if you glance at the game or whatever, Vandy does have a first-round potential linebacker in Zach Cunningham. So if you do flip on the game or whatever this weekend, you can check that guy out.
That would be about what I would give to it, a quick flip through.
And most people
on
would.
To the next. I say, is that the linebacker? Ah, I didn't have time to see if that was him. I've got the football diehards this afternoon from 6 to 8 on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. And then tomorrow I got soccer. First year I haven't coached Double D since my kid was like 6.
Right.
He's 12 now, you know, so.
You're coaching?
I'm not coach. First year, okay. I haven't been able to. Just my schedule, it finally too much during football season, so I just couldn't do it. They practice, right now they're practicing like 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm always on the air when he's practicing, so this is the first time I get to see him with his new team.
That's
very excited about that.
There.
Right? For 12-year-olds, man, yeah. They're out there 3 times a week. And
NFL teams practice 4 days a week.
Right, and they go full contact, by the way. So I got that tomorrow. Of course, Florida State, Louisville, I might try to get in 18, and then we'll be here all day Sunday.
Yeah.
Like you, rooting the Jags on to victory and bringing you the pregame show. Countdown to kickoff, post game, and call in on the scoreboard show after the game, hopefully celebrating a Jaguar victory. Double D, what do you got cooking this weekend? Let me guess, you're dropping a line in the water. You're like a fishing fanatic now, aren't you?
Man, it's officially 1 year since I've started fishing, and I've been fishing freshwater, I've been fishing saltwater, inshore, man, so bass, trout, red, flounder. And I've been joining. So, again, if somebody's out there, you guys love to fish, you know, hit me up. I actually got an Instagram called Double D Fishing just for it. You can see the pictures of the fish that I've been catching. But, again, I like to learn. So people that are teachers and like to, you know, teach, where are some spots at. I got kayaks, so I get a chance to get out there. And so amidst all the things I do, this allows me to relax. But I approach it almost like a game.
Let me guess.
Like I'm watching videos. Listen, I'm watching videos.
Get in the boat.
I'm watching videos because at the end of the day, this is my mentality. I want to go to any body of water and I want to be able to look at the conditions, look at the water, look at the lure, the sun, everything, throw something out there, bam, and got him. Like I want to dominate it like that. I mean, it must just be my mentality.
That is your mentality.
But I have fun. I have fun doing it. I like to catch fish, not just cast for fish. And so, somebody, you know, hit me up, man. Double D Fishing on Instagram and, you know, and or follow me on my Facebook, which is the public one, which is at Donovan Darius public page. That's where any and everybody can get updates, news on anything that's going on. Donovan Darius public page on Facebook.
The fact that you have your own Instagram just for your fishing exploits is amazing to me. All right. Let me get a few of these keys to the game on Facebook. We'll get some from Twitter as well. Garrett said, if the Jags play fundamental football, they'll win this game. Stop the run. Pressure Rivers. I think that is a key. Pressure Rivers this week. Don't let him just sit back there and survey the field and have an efficient offense, including time management. I need to open a Twitter account because Tony gives them all of the love. I don't know what that is. I don't know what he's talking about.
I read the tweet. That's what it is.
Okay, Tony, you know what? You're right, Garrett.
Dempsey not giving you love on Facebook.
That's why I'm doing Facebook first today. That's on me. Josh said, red zone offense, we need touchdowns, not field goals. Run game, need more from TJ Yeldon and contain Danny Woodhead and Melvin Gordon, especially the pass catchers, hashtag Jaguars today. Seth went with the key. Keep Blake Bortles upright. I get it. Get the ball to Marquise Lee and lock down Antonio Gates. Nice. I like that.
Come up with a third key.
That's okay. Couple of keys and a lock. Derek Stewart, less mental errors. Play to knock Rivers to the ground and stay out of third and long. Daniel went with sack Rivers at least 4 times. Don't throw the ball to Marquise Lee. Get Miles Jack on the field. Wow. Gregory said, get off the field on third down. Get off the field on third down. Did I mention, get off the field on third down? And then Adam Gibbs, 3 keys to victory. Pressure Rivers hard. He's not a mobile quarterback. Quickly establish a run game and continue good special teams play. Give him some Twitter love.
Here's what we got from Chris. DBs need to limit options for Rivers. Sacks and takeaways second. and Miles Freaking Jack. From Johnny, Julius Thomas needs to ball out. Defensive line needs to pressure Rivers, and O-line needs to do your job. From Jags on the Rise, our Aussie fan, pressure Rivers, score, and then repeat that process. From Jay, we got place Rivers on his butt, establish the run, and be great, Blake. And finally, from Jeff, pressure on the quarterback, run game, and get Allen Robinson going early.
See, you can't open a Twitter account. Tony, we'll give you love. I need to do a better job with Facebook.
I only rate it if you put the hashtag.
We have so much fun, though, man, with Double D and David in here today. That was a heck of a good time, man. I'm looking at your Instagram account right now. These are some serious fish you're catching.
Scroll down, man. Look at that flounder, man. You'll see the white of it.
I know the flounder from the trout, Tony.
It looks real ugly, but it tastes real good.
Oh, my gosh, man. These things, you're killing it out there. That's amazing. Donovan Darius Fishing on Instagram. Donovan Darius public page on Facebook. That's the easiest. That's a simple one.
That's where, and I've created it for that so everybody can go there and find out anything and everything they need to know. Donovan Darius public page.
Yes, excuse me. Be a part of the Double D experience, the game. Yes. Day experience team against Baltimore. It's all there on the Facebook page. Go to my Twitter. Tony retweeted it as well. The link is out there if you want to help Donovan hand out cards. It's kind of a community bringing together idea, and then you get to go out on the field with Donovan prior to the Ravens game. That doesn't suck, right? So you can do that as well. And Double D, always great to see you,
Thank you, gentlemen.
As David Garrard said, the second you walked in, the energy level rose about 10 decibels, man. So have a great weekend, brother.
Thank you. You too, John.
All right. We'll see you soon. Donovan Darius, thanks to David Garrard for stopping with us today and hanging out for a little bit. And the two lovely Garrard young ladies as well.
Yeah.
They did not tear the studio to the ground.
They just used the couch as a jungle gym for
they
a few
minutes. They did, but hey, when you're a kid, that's what you do, right? You know what? As long as none of the actual equipment that gets us on the air was disturbed, I think everyone is okay with that. All right, that does it again for us. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. Safe travels to Joe and the rest of the contingent traveling out west. And hopefully, let's hope for the best for Jeremy Parnell and Dante Fowler Jr. on their availability. As Gus said, likely to play. Each of those guys likely to play. Prince Amukamara and Chris Ivory already ruled out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. More on that coming up, though, on the Midday Chalk with the gang. They're straight ahead with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Thanks for listening today to Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here. Week 2 of the NFL season is already kicked off, and who knows, maybe you already won some cash on FanDuel. FanDuel basically saved my Week 1 from being pretty depressing from a fantasy standpoint. I don't like playing 500 ball, but with FanDuel, you can rewrite the script every single week. You know what? You don't like the team you drafted in a season-long league. You're kind of stuck, aren't you, picking some bums up off the waiver wire. With FanDuel, you have your pick of everyone in the National Football League. Any players you want to start your team with, find a few bargains so you can spend up at other positions. Go to FanDuel.com. If you haven't played before, it is so easy, and there's so many options out there for you, whether they're beginner contest, 50-50s, finish in the top half, and win cash. They've got large field tournaments. If you haven't signed up before, use promo code Mike. You're going to get 5 free entries to NFL beginner 50-50 contests, 1 per week for 5 weeks, up to a $50 value. FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike, and once you're there and signed up, FanDuel.com/Mike gets you into our listener league. Spots are dwindling. FanDuel.com, be sports rich.
You guys have a good day. Peace.